After the death of Joseph Stalin in March 5, 1953, a man named Nikita Khrushchev rose and was elevated to premier of the Soviet Union. Speaking to Western ambassadors at a reception at the Polish embassy in Moscow on November 18, 1956, he declared, speaking of the colonial powers, Great Britain and America, he said, "We will bury you." Many of you remember in 1960 his famous shoe incident. He took it off and banged it at the United Nations. In 1963, Albert Hurlong Jr., a Floridian who served in Congress from 1949 to 1969, entered the top 45 communist goals into the Congressional Record, Volume 109, 88th Congress. Here are 13 of those goals this morning. Number one, capture one or both of the political parties. Number two, use technical decisions of courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Number three, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' association. Put the party line in textbooks. Number four, infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policymaking positions. Number five, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all form of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings and substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. Number six, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and television. Number seven, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Number eight, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in schools on the grounds that it violates the principle of the separation of church and state. Number nine, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Number 10, discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Number 11, infiltrate and gain control of more unions. Number 12, discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Number 13, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of their parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, the retardation of children to suppressive influence of parents. Ladies and gentlemen, as much as it pains me to say this morning, the prophecy of Khrushchev is true. We have been buried. You don't have to say amen. We've been buried. Whether you believe it or not, each one of these 13 princes, and there's 32 more. They have taken place in our country. We are being systematically buried. And at the heart of that is marriage. Marriage is under assault. It is absolutely under assault from the front, from the flanks, and from the rear. If you'll study your Bible, you'll find that God had three divine institutions. The first institution was the home. The second institution was civil government. The third institution was the Church of the Living God. And if you'll study those institutions, you'll find the proverb correct. As goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. As goes America, so goes the world. As soon as as soon as that first marriage was performed in Genesis chapter 2. And the Bible says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And of the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made woman." By the way, let me say this unapologetically. Marriage is between a man and a woman. That's it. That's all it is. And I get a little irritated with liberal theologians who'll say, "Jesus never spoke about homosexuality." Oh yeah, he did. He said, "Did not God in the beginning make them male and female?" That man would leave, or that a man would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Marriage is a divine institution. And a true marriage always involves a man, a woman, and God. Why? Because God designed the marriage relationship to be a mysterious picture of His relationship with His church. He's the husband, and we're the bride. Amen? Our country and our way of life is under assault. We live in a country that is seeing the prophecy of Isaiah come true. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." That's the country we live in. Organizations like the ACLU, the United Separation for Church and State, PETA, putting animals above humans. Do you know a baby eagle is a protected species, but babies will be ripped out of their mother's womb in this country today? See, that's the country we live in. 1.5, I hate even saying point. 1.5 million babies every year in this country. Ought to have a statistic on every last one of them. I'll be able to count them to the person because they are a person. Think of groups like NOW. Feminist movement pushing to remove all distinctions between men and women. That's what's going on in our country, folks. It's going on in our country. Corruption, debt, liquor. 2008, almost 12,000 people died on the highways of the United States of America for one reason: liquor. Liquor. January 19th, 2009, at the inauguration of the current President of the United States, Gene Robinson, an open homosexual, gave the inauguration prayer. So much to say, but I'd like to confine myself just to the subject of marriage. Marriage is under assault by four things this morning. First of all, marriage is under assault by Satan. It is Satan that is behind every one of the assaults on the home. You see, as soon as Adam and Eve were married, as soon as they began to frolic in the garden, you find in Genesis chapter 3 that Satan came and invaded their happy home. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" See, he came in after God had performed that first wedding, and then cometh the devil. Marriage is the first and most important institution in the plan of God. And Satan knows this all too well, church. And so he will do anything in his power. He works tirelessly to try to destroy marriage. He's ultimately behind every attack on marriage. He uses forces from without and within to destroy marriages. Some of you have been married a long time. But there was a point where you were really close to calling it quits. Can I tell you who inspired that? Satan. Satan. Why? Because I know what the Word of God says. It says we're supposed to be husband and wife for life. Amen. We're supposed to be husband and wife for life. And there was a time where you had trouble. And I want to tell you, Satan will use all kinds of things. He'll use covetousness. He'll use the love of things. He'll use immorality. He'll use a partner being unfaithful to another partner. He'll use alcohol. He'll use drugs. He'll use pornography. He'll use humanistic education. He'll use laziness. He'll use media filth and desensitization. I believe that's what's happening in our day. And we're becoming so desensitized to things. He'll use other things. He'll use discontentment. He'll use the Hollywood lifestyle and all its ill effects. He'll use a lack of respect for authority, a lack of structure in the home, the way God intended it, with men leading. Amen. He'll use selfishness. He'll use immaturity, irresponsibility. Satan is attacking our homes. He's attacking your marriage. Mark it down. If you've been married 1, 10, 5, 50 years, you are in Satan's crosshairs. He does not want your marriage to succeed for God. Number 2, marriage is under attack by Satan. Marriage is also under attack by sinners. I think of the wickedness of no-fault divorce. Now listen, if you're here today and you've struggled through a divorce, listen, God still loves you. God still wants to use you. Many have. I know that. I think sometimes when people that aren't divorced, they can look down their noses at people that have suffered through them. I want to tell you, in this day and age, there's nothing you can do if a spouse wants a divorce. That's it. It used to be you had to come and present your case before a judge. And he would only grant it on a couple of different bases. But now, you just go down to the courthouse and that's it. You don't have any say. Think of sinners through divorce. I think, by the way, 1940, the divorce rate in America was 16.5%. Today, it's over 50%. And 50% for Christians. 50% of Christians ending in divorce. According to the Richmond Journal, divorce rates in America, the divorce rate for first marriages is 41%. Second marriage is 60%. Third marriage is 73%. Through divorce, sinners are assaulting marriage. Through disregard, there are many couples now that see no benefit in getting married. And so they just simply shack up, and it's becoming more now the norm than it ever has been. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You see, acting like you're married doesn't make you married. No more than walking into a garage turns you into a Cadillac. You see, marriage is under assault from sinners through divorce, through disregard, through disdain. There are many sinners today that say, let's just get rid of marriage. It doesn't work anymore. Can I say, folks, this is the proverbial, let's throw out the baby with the bathwater. Study after study has proven that two-parent households led by a mother and a father, amen, committed to one another, breed the most healthy, stable environment for children emotionally, financially, and physically, and all God's people said. Most of the adult population in prison comes from broken and fragmented families. Really, by the way, their disdain is not against the institution of marriage. It's against the one who instituted it. It's against God. And it's really, folks, it all boils down to an authority issue. They don't like the way God set it up, and they don't like the fact that He's in charge. But He is. Thirdly, most difficult. Thank you for praying. And those of you that are even praying right now, thank you. Marriage is under assault by Satan. Marriage is under assault by sinners. Number 3, marriage is under assault by the sodomites. That is the word. Sodomites. That's the Bible word. They can call them gay or queer or any of the other words they want to use, homosexual. Sodomites is the Bible word. I'll stick with the word. Matthew 19, have ye not read that He which made them from the beginning is made them both male and female? They'll say, well, it's no different than a straight relationship. It's a lot different. Amen. Romans chapter 1, we read it. God has a lot to say about it. The women changing the natural use. See, folks, it's just natural that men and women continue on a society. It's just natural. It's happened for 6,000 years. But they'll say, oh, it's just a little different. It's a lot different. It's unseemly, unnatural, and ungodly. We need to stand up against it and say, thus saith the Lord. Certain parts of our anatomy are designed for certain functions, and I'll leave it right there. Amen. They'll say, it's nobody's fault. God made us this way. May of 2000, the American Psychiatric Association issued a fact sheet stating there is no replicated scientific studies that support a specific biological etiology for homosexuality. And can I say this? Even if you are that way because of the consequences of sin on mankind, you can still restrain yourself. Listen, Bible says, thou shalt not kill. I met a few people a couple times I wanted to kill. And I didn't do it. As far as you know. Hey, listen. It's nobody's fault. God made me this way. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. It doesn't hurt anybody else. How about that one? You know, we have a disease called AIDS today because of one man named Gayton Dugas. He was a flight attendant. He was a sodomite. Had relationships, committed sodomy with over 2,500 partners and spread the gay cancer in the late 70s and early 80s all over the world because he flew for free. Listen to me, folks. It does hurt other people. It does hurt other people. And today, listen, there have been over 25 million people that have died of AIDS. In 2007, AIDS killed 330,000 children. Don't tell me it doesn't hurt anybody. Foolishness. Can I say this? The sodomites are winning the battle of gaining acceptance of their immoral cause. They're gaining acceptance through education. Through education. And by the way, parents, if you have your children in public schools, you keep your thumb on what they teach your kids. Amen. That is still your right. That is still your right. You can go in and say, I think this is wrong. I think it's wicked. My kids are not going to be there for that. Sexual education classes at 6 and 7 years old. 9 years old, I thought girls still had cooties. They didn't want to be around me, either words, because I was eating dirt and doing all kinds of things that boys do. Amen? Had a preacher in our council yesterday. He's got a family in his church. Goes to middle school. Said they have young people at 10 and 11 years old telling people they're lesbians. How do you even know at 10? I'll tell you how you know. You've been re-educated. They're winning the battle. Through education. They're winning the battle through entertainment. This has been one of the most effective tools in changing social perceptions of what's perceived to be moral and immoral. In 1961 and 1970, there was one sodomite character on the television. One. 1971 and 1980, 58. 1981 and 1990, 89. 1991 to 2000, 337. 2000 to the present, 601 character. Sodomites. Entertainment. Education. They also have some emissaries that are helping them win the battle in assault marriage. The first emissaries they have are politicians in our country. And by the way, you cast your vote with this book. You're not voting for a pastor. Never forget that. Voting for a president. But you can tell a lot by who's standing next to him. For the fourth straight year, President Barack Obama has made a presidential proclamation that June is National Gay Pride Month. June. The proclamation concludes with this statement. Now therefore, I, Barack Obama, do hereby proclaim 2012 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. I call upon the people of the United States to eliminate prejudice everywhere it exists and to celebrate the great diversity of the American people. Do you read that statement? Can you hear what it says? You know what it says to me? Throw this book away. It's making you a bigot and hateful. I got called everything but a gentleman this week because I posted on Target's website that I will not be shopping with them anymore, as they are selling and are sold out of, Brother Holy, gay pride t-shirts benefiting the equality organization. The United States military this year ended its don't ask, don't tell policy and allows now gay service members to serve openly and unashamed. President Obama declared portions of the Defense of Marriage Act, which defines marriage as only between a man and a woman, unconstitutional. By the way, if that doesn't make your blood boil as a patriot, it ought to. You see, in America, we pass laws through Congress, not through five judges. That's how it's supposed to be done. You're supposed to persuade your fellow citizens to the righteousness of your cause, bring it to your elected representatives, and get it on the ballot. But it's a lot easier to go through five judges, isn't it? And force it upon 320 million Americans. Perry versus Brown is heading for the Supreme Court. Say, what's Perry versus Brown? That's Proposition 8 in California, where over a million people in California said no to gay marriage. And they said, we're taking it to the judges. Popular business. I mentioned Target. JCPenney this year for Mother's Day and Father's Day had same-sex couples on their catalog. Hey, you do what you want. I'm not shopping there. I'm not shopping there. I'm not going to lend my money to organizations that are specifically against what this book is against. Listen to me. Amen. Target, pennies. Oh, there's this whole index. I don't have time to read it. Equality index. How they rate companies. How they strong-arm companies. How they blackmail companies is what they do. Supervisors undergo training that includes gender identity and sexual orientation as discrete topics. Gender transition guidelines with supportive restroom dress code and documentation guidance. Hey, you know they get points for philanthropic support of at least one gay organization. But they lose points if they support politicians that are against their agenda. Oh, I don't have time to read them. We've got several in our area that got a perfect score from the gays and lesbians. Perfect score. Got 100. But you know, a few in our area didn't quite get 100. Home Depot only got 85 out of 100. But a few of our local businesses didn't score so well. Praise God. Lowe's got a 30. Meijer got a 20. Walmart got a 40. ExxonMobil got a 0 and won't even cooperate. Makes me want to go out of my way to get gas somewhere. Dollar General, 0. Family Dollar, 0. Auto Owners Insurance, 0. You know what else they use? They not only use their emissaries, but they use endless litigation. They just go through the courts. If they don't like their decision, they just take it to the courts. Antonin Scalia in his fantastic dissent in Lawrence versus Texas. You ought to look that up. Those of you that are on the internet, Scalia's dissent, Lawrence versus Texas. He said this, and those of you that don't know anything about that case, it came to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court voted by a 6-3 margin that private consensual homosexual sodomy was no longer to be criminalized as it had been for 225 years in our country, along with prostitution, bigamy, adult incest, all these things that were criminal and should be criminal. Amen. This is what he said when they reversed that. The Texas statute undeniably seeks to further the belief of its citizens that certain forms of sexual behavior are immoral and unacceptable. The same interest is furthered by criminal laws against fornication, bigamy, adultery, adult incest, bestiality, obscenity. The Texas statute, it says, furthers no legitimate state interest which can justify the intrusion into the personal and private life of an individual. This effectively decrees the end of all morals legislation. The court today pretends it possesses a similar freedom of action so that we need not fear the judicial imposition of homosexual marriage. Do not believe it, Scalia said. This case has nothing to do with homosexual marriage, only if principle and logic have nothing to do with the argument. See, that was 10 years ago. What they said in that case was, we're not interested in getting married. Folks, they're interested. They're interested. They were interested then, they're interested now. And marriage is absolutely under assault from Satan, from sinners, from sodomites, and lastly, from saints. You wouldn't think that, but it is. Marriage is for life, and all God's people said. If you're married, and you've already taken the plunge, listen to me. You have to determine that you are married for life. Amen. You have to just cut divorce right out of your dictionary. Just, you're married for life. That's what God wants. He wants you to be married. Amen. For life. But listen, we get these excuses. I'm unhappy. He drinks. We never have any fun. I just want my freedom. She won't submit. He never says, I love you. He treats me like dirt. I don't feel like I did when I got married. You don't look like you do when you got married either. Amen? These are stupid excuses, folks. They're stupid excuses. Amen. I married the wrong person. Too late. Amen. I've fallen out of love. Oh, give me a break. Honestly. We've grown apart. He doesn't provide. Divorce is no worse than other sins. How about that one? It's always try to justify your own sins before you commit them. Amen. God will forgive me. How about this? This one amazing. My spouse has committed mental adultery. I swear I've heard it. My spouse has committed mental adultery. He smokes. I can't trust him. She pushes me away. Folks, can we just get back to Ephesians chapter 5? Can we just get back to Ephesians chapter 5? Can we just get back to spouses submitting to each other in the fear of God? Submitting one to another, amen, in the fear of God and saying, we're going to put God in the middle of our home, amen. We're going to try to please God. And I learned this, if you try to please God, you will please your spouse. Why? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Can we get some men who will lead in love and not lordship? Not pulling your wife by the hair, spiritually speaking, amen? Why don't you love her? She'll follow your leadership if you love her. How do you know that? The Bible says so! Amen? How about women, submissive in spirit? Oh, not popular. I've gotten glares when I preach that before. You just submit to your husband in your spirit. Not just your actions, but in your spirit. Because God told you to. So I don't like that. There's lots of things I do because this book says so that I don't like doing. Do it. Be submissive in spirit. Amen, church. Amen. How about children? Be obedient. Let Christ be the head of the home. Families, read the Bible and have family devotions together. Say it's hard. I know it is. I know it is. Say, I haven't been doing it. Start tonight. Get a good time is after dinner. You find a good time in your home. You don't have to preach a 45-minute sermon. Amen. Read the Bible. Talk about it. Maybe sing a song. Amen. Have prayer. Be done. But, oh, why are kids going so far astray? Why is the world pulling kids out of our church? Because of that. Bible's not a priority. Spouses, make time for each other in friendship. You know, you should be your husband. If you're a wife, your husband should be your best friend. Vice versa. Husband, your wife ought to be your best friend. I know guys like to go out and hunt with the guys, and girls like to go out and shop together, and that's fine, but best friend ought to be the person you're married to. Be best friends. And I say this, and we've got young ears in here, but spouses, stop defrauding each other, according to 1 Corinthians 7. You go ahead and read that. Stop defrauding one another physically. See, that's a problem in marriages. That's why a lot of marriages fail. Defrauding one another. It says, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise, the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again. Why? That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or your lack of self-control. Spouses, how about this? Have a date night. Go out for ice cream. Sit across the table from one another. Never so reminded of that as when we first came here, and Luke was a brand new baby and Eric was 1.5. And I can't remember, I think the Bittingers babysat for us. And we sat across the table from one another and we went, hi. We just looked at each other. I don't even know if we ate, amen? Oh, the waiter came over. You going to order something, buddy? We're just sitting there. We were mesmerized, amen? We remembered what it was to go out on a date again. It's okay to still do that, even if you've been married 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, amen? By the way, it'll keep you being married 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. Have a date night. Huh. Hey, husband, continue to commit to court your wife. I know you already got her. And ma'am, you're stuck with him. I understand that, amen? But court one another. It's okay to do that. Still okay, husband, to get down on your knee and tell your wife you love her. She would, I'm telling you, she wouldn't. She might say, get up, I just washed that floor, amen? It's okay. You see, determined to have a happy home, turn off the television. Marriage is under assault. What can we do? Pastor, you've shown us that marriage is under assault from Satan, from sinners, from sodomites, and even from saints. What can we do? Well, the first thing we need to do is pray. Pray. Pray that our marriage will not be a casualty. Pray that marriages in our church will stand the test of time through God's power. Second thing we need to do is we need to educate our children as to what God says about marriage. Because they're hearing all kinds of things that marriage is not. Amen? You have children in public school, I promise you, they have friends. There are teachers in those schools that are teaching them contrary to what this book says about marriage. You be careful. Educate them at home, which is our job. It's not the state's job to educate our children. It's our job. Obey the Bible concerning marriage. If you're married, don't get divorced. Work it out. Work it out. Work it out. Obey the Bible. Contend for the faith. Take a stand for what God says about marriage. Listen, you don't have to be as ornery as me. Good night. I'm as ornery as a hornet's nest this morning. I'm telling you. You can kindly take a stand in your own way, your own spirit, and just say, listen, I just believe the Bible that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's enough. Amen. And I'm not for all this other stuff. I think it's destructive. I think it's immoral. And make your case, amen. But contend. Something else, take your vows seriously. See, I always go back to that little church in Holyoke, Massachusetts, June 1st, 1996. And I remember, not only did I take a vow before my wife, not only did I take a vow before my preacher, but I took a vow before Holy God that I would forsake all others and until death do us part. Remember those vows that you've taken. Realize that your marriage is under assault. You see, you can't just walk around, everything's going my way. And no, you got to guard yourself. You got to put on the whole armor of God, like the Bible says. Live a happy, biblical marriage and show your children by example of what marriage ought to be. Amen? Show them what marriage ought to be. You say, but we have fight. Every marriage has a fight or two. Amen? But show them. This is what marriage is all about. Mom and dad loving each other, having kids and providing for them and showering them with love. And then lastly today, be careful what you fund. Listen, I've made some difficult decisions this week about things I'll be buying and things I won't be buying anymore based on causes that are supported. You say, Pastor, what do we do when all the corporations support these causes? I guess we'll just have to depend on God. Amen. Guess we'll just have to depend on God. Guess God will still hold us accountable for our money and where we spend it. Amen. See, you know why we were, I just said it, but it's not really our money, is it? Whose is it? God's. It's God's. Listen, let every man be persuaded in his own conscience. You may say, hey, I'm still going to shop here or there. That's fine. You just be careful. As your preacher, let me admonish you. We'll give an account for every penny that comes through our hands. Contact your representatives peacefully and make your voice heard concerning what marriage is. Write letters. Amen? You can write a letter. Say, I'm busy. Listen, that busyness is part of the reason why they're winning. Because we're not active. Folks, marriage is under assault. We can do something about it. The best thing you can do is pray, and you have a good marriage. And when you have trouble, ride it out. Just like everything in life, there are highs of life, and there are lows of life. Ride it out. Hey, I'm committed to God. These are the vows I made till death do us part. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Father,